Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block, and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Former USDA Secretary Dan Glickman is still very involved in the ag industry, working with individuals, businesses, and nations around the world. We got his thoughts on the proposed farm bill, food pyramids, and much more that will impact the profitability and future of farming. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Stay ahead of market swings with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style saves you time while giving you the profit-boosting information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll cash in on profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile cell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. Find out why thousands of farmers trust ProFarmer for market insights and news. To learn more, just go to ProFarmer.com. A couple of years ago, I had the chance to connect with former USDA Secretary Dan Glickman about his autobiography called Laughing at Myself. I enjoyed our visit, and I recently had the chance to catch up with him again. This time, we focus mostly on current events in agriculture and how he sees those factors impacting our future. It was an interesting look at what he believes are the key drivers that will have a positive and negative impact in the ag industry this year and beyond. Former Secretary of Agriculture Dan Glickman joins me here on Farming the Countryside. Good to visit with him again. We talked a couple of years ago after his book came out, Laughing at Myself. We may come back around to that, but Mr. Secretary, good to have you back. And tell folks what you do these days after the time at USDA.
Well, you know, I'm still involved indirectly in agriculture, so I do some consulting in there. And also I'm involved in the global food security, hunger movement as well. I just do a myriad of different things that kind of it's the dessert of life, I would say, where I'm still working, but not working for anybody in specifically. So that's good. The only boss I have is my wife and my kids.
I'm sure you're still staying on top of all the ag issues. I mean, it's part of what you're doing these days, correct?
That's right. And I have an affiliation with a firm, our Russell and Associates. Randy Russell's a friend of mine. He was a former person who worked at USDA, and so I stay very much involved in the farm bill issues and other related things.
We have many things that we can visit about here, but let me begin with this. I know that some people listening to this will say, well, Secretary Glickman, he served under a Democratic president, so he's going to be very critical of the administration, and that's fine. But what about the things that's going right now in agriculture? Or do you think that it's a pretty tough place and we don't have much going right now?
Well, look, I think the USDA does a good job. I think that they have very talented career people there. They're administering the farm programs, the conservation programs, the rural development programs well. I don't have any objection to. I think they're honoring the intent of Congress. USDA tends to be more of a congressional agency and even an executive branch agency in that sense, because of the historic role that agriculture has had in our country and our country's policy. So I'm not overly critical. And plus, at this stage of my life, it doesn't do me any good to spew toxic rhetoric about the other side. I mean, look, I don't like the tariffs. I think the tariffs were a bad idea, and they're proving to be harmful to a lot of farmers and ranchers in our country, plus people in other industries. But in terms of the department working to try to deal with the problems that farmers actually have, I think by and large, they're doing a pretty good job.
You know, let's talk about things that are going on right now. And I suppose perhaps the place we need to start is we have input prices that are continuing to rise with the conflict now in the Middle East. this looks like a situation where farmers are just going to have to somehow move through this. What would you suggest that USDA, their administration, begins to do to try to help farmers as they're going to put a crop in the ground and the input prices were already tight and high and looks to be moving in the wrong direction for them?
You know, I mean, the only thing I can tell you is while there may be some supplemental emergency assistance from the government, which it's outside of my control, certainly, I think farmers just have to do their best to use the programs as effectively as they can, to use crop insurance as best as they can, because risk management tools through the crop insurance industry have gotten better in recent years, and you now can basically hedge against all sorts of risks that you couldn't do 20 and 30 and 40 years ago, even price volatility. So I hope that they're intelligently using our crop insurance programs as best they can, and then also to use the futures markets as the best that they possibly can. You know, I mean, you hate to see the government support agriculture every year with these huge subsidy payments that come out. I mean, that's no way to run a railroad. Farmers don't want that, but we may need that again this year with these high crop input prices caused by, I think, quite frankly, an intervention in the Middle East, which wasn't necessary, at least right now. But that's another set of policies and opinions that I'll stay away from right now. I do think that agriculture is probably the most energy-intensive industry of all, so it tends to be hit by volatile energy prices. It's a tough time, particularly people who are operating on the margins. But I point out that there are good programs out there that people ought to take advantage of, and crop insurance is the one that it was actually designed for this in mind, to help farmers not only with natural disasters, but volatility in the marketplace as well. So let's hope that they do their best with it.
You know, as you mentioned the crop insurance, and we think about a new farm bill coming on, that crop insurance has been one of the key points, and it always is brought up. As you see the new farm bill right now, what are you pleased with or perhaps displeased with the version that is moving through Congress?
Well, I think that they have pretty much followed the status quo. I think that they're trying to make improvements in the crop insurance program because of the vagaries in the marketplace, particularly. We're in a period where there are a lot more natural disasters than there used to be. Droughts, floods, heat, and extreme cold, all coming at various times. Right now, all simultaneously, believe it or not. So we have this crazy weather out there. And so I think that the bill, I don't think the bill goes as far as I would like to see on research. I think that we have backtracked on agriculture research and research across the board in our country, and that bothers me a lot. I think that there are some things that they're doing to our feeding programs, our nutrition programs, which may tend to hurt this coalition of rural and urban America that we've had over the last 40 or 50 years to get farm bills through. This is a much more farm bill than an urban-rural farm bill in the past. So we'll have to see how things work out. But by and large, I think the farm bill moves the thing forward in a positive way, other than the nutrition side of the picture.
Well, you went where I wanted to go. Let's talk about that, because there were some things in the big bill that got passed in the summer that dealt with SNAP and food benefits. So talk about that and then how that relates to what we might do or not do in this new farm bill.
Well, the bill does a lot of things on the nutrition side. It increases the work requirements. It increases the fraud provisions. It reduces benefits for some people. The majority of people on SNAP are people, families with small children, and don't stay on for more than 2 or 3 months at a time. But my own feeling is that it's been very much a part of the passage of farm bills over the last 30 or 40 years, the ability to have political coalitions between urban and rural and conservative and liberal. That's jeopardized right now more than it's been at any time in the last 20 or 30 years. In the days when I was on the committee, Pat Roberts, Bob Dole was the Senate Majority Leader, kind of ran agriculture programs. We were able to build those bridges between the nutrition community and the farm community. And those bridges are fraying right now. They are in need of repair.
When you and I visited, I think a couple of years ago or so, when your book came out, we spent some time talking about that, about the political climate. It has definitely changed, and I don't know that you're going to say it's gotten any better since we talked. So what do we do? Are there enough folks on both sides of the aisle right now to make farm policy work and they'll figure this out? Or do you feel like it's frayed enough that some of these things are in danger, the bridges that we've had for many years going back to your time and even further?
Well, first of all, the good news is agriculture is in better shape than many other segments of the American economy when it comes to building bridges. I mean, in many legislative areas, in the areas of health care or housing or foreign policy, I mean, we're at each other's throats all the time. Agriculture tends to be better because it tends to be more based on geography and crop-specific issues than it is on philosophy. And, I don't like it. The ag committees are more partisan than they were when I was served in Congress many years ago. And we haven't been able to get a farm bill through for years and years, which is different, although we've managed to keep our farm programs going. The problems are still severe, particularly for smaller farmers and less well-capitalized farmers that don't have land that they can borrow on or expand on. So we've seen a continued consolidation in agriculture, both in the farm community as well as the livestock community. And that's troublesome because with fewer competitors out there, it tends to keep prices up for consumers. And the other thing I would say is farmers are facing now, which they probably didn't back in my day, the consumer is driving more agriculture issues than it did a long time ago. What you eat, what the nutritional value of food is, how you eat it, where it comes from, those are issues that are far more dominant today than they were a long time ago. I mean, and so farmers have to produce for the customer and what the customer wants, and that's changing a bit. And so it makes it a lot more complicated.
Well, let's talk about that changing consumer, because you're right. The consumer has changed, and we've heard a lot of talk, especially in the last six months, about processed foods and diet and healthy foods. And, of course, we go over to Secretary Kennedy and some of his views. Just help us sort through this, because there is a lot going on in this space of processed foods and healthy foods and the food pyramid and so forth.
Well, first of all, everybody's looking for a magic answer to both help farmers survive, but at the same time want to live long lives healthfully without disease and maybe extend mortality a bit, which we all want to do, particularly as you get older in this world. And it's tough. Science is now moving ahead to some degree, and we're finding that some things we didn't know for sure or we know are good for you and some things are bad for you. And there's a lot of discussion about this issue of ultra-processed foods, which are basically a lot of the snack foods and a lot of freeze, frozen or prepared foods. And so we just hope it's based on good science. I think Secretary Kennedy has created a good discussion about the whole idea of diet and how it impacts your life. But I think that he tends to go off the deep end at times with his views on all crop inputs are bad. He's coming back from that a bit, but I think he still believes it. And his views on vaccines, which I think are proving to be very harmful, because we have more measles cases today than any time in the last 50 years, in part because we're discouraging people from getting vaccinated. And I hope it doesn't come down where we discourage animals from getting vaccinated, because, you know, without that, without good crop inputs, appropriate crop inputs, pesticides, fertilizers, and that kind of thing, we can't cope in a world with disease and animal disease, plant and pest disease, and those kinds of things. So I don't think Secretary Kennedy knows very much about agriculture. I think some of his ideas are all right, wanting us to eat a better diet. But I hope the cooler minds prevail in terms of making sure that we don't do stupid decisions based on bad science. That's what worries me more than anything else.
Things like the food pyramid, that is talked about in the news, but in the end, does that make a big difference? Does that drive USDA policy, or is it just something that people like to talk about and it's really not going to make any difference?
Well, it may make some difference, because a lot of parents look at the food guide pyramid and maybe will buy foods for their families based on that and have their diets based on that. I don't think it makes a profound difference, but I think it's helpful. I think the big thing is consumers are often very confused about what to eat and how to eat it and how it affects their diets. What we're finding is the medical profession knows very little about nutrition. Very few doctors are taught this in medical school. They don't know very much about it. So consumers sometimes don't get very good advice. And then the advertising is generally on certain foods that aren't necessarily all good for you, so to speak. But ultimately, most consumers want to do the right thing, want to use good judgment. And we just have to make sure they get good information, not baseless information on bad science.
I wanted to ask you about not only food and health, but also the GLP drugs. And I know this is something that has been on your mind. You know, a lot of people are on these now.
Well, do you think? Are you looking at me? You think I need him?
Well, you can tell us if you're one of the folks. I mean, no. You know, I sat through a program recently where they said this is going to be a game changer. It changes so much health. I'm frankly a bit skeptical yet. But what do you say? You're in this space, so what are you seeing?
Well, it's clearly a lot of millions of Americans are taking these drugs, and clearly it has an impact on reducing appetite and getting people's weight down. Now, we don't know what the long term does it turn you into a turtle or something like that. I mean, we don't know what the long term implications are, but there's no question that an awful lot of people in this country have chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes and other obesity related diseases. And so if this helps them reduce that and keep disease away and live longer, that's a good thing. But we have to realize that there is no magic answer to any of this stuff. There's no miracle type answer to it. I will have to say to you that the food industry is going to have to adapt to this, because so far I'm told that certain food items, there is a significant reduction in consumption of the food. And so if I were in the snack food business, I would want to look at my business plan to make sure that I'm serving healthier items. Even the airlines have announced that they're going to make more money because the weight of airplanes are going down a bit because of the reduction in weight that people would have. So this has amazing potential, but you know, we still need to eat a balanced diet. That's the whole thing. You need protein. You need fresh fruits and vegetables or fruits and vegetables. You need adequate dairy. You know, I mean, so regardless of how we do that, we don't need added sugars. We don't need so much salt in our food. We know those things as well. So it's good judgment as much as anything.
About this time last year, or a little earlier, we had all the news about USAID being, you know, I guess you'd say taken out of service, so to speak. Talk for a moment about how that impacts agriculture. In my mind, a lot of those programs were sending food and other aid to some developing nations. You obviously were around this because you were Secretary of Agriculture. In the end, is it a big impact? What happens not only short-term but long-term because we have lost that?
Well, it's had some impact because our amount of food aid has gone down in the last 2 years by about 20-25%. I mean, we produce way more than we consume. So back in the 1950s, we created a variety of programs, even before then, that would allow surplus food to be either sold or given to people overseas who needed it. And we're the largest donor of food in the world, the United States is, to hungry people. I think that's a good thing, not only for humanitarian purposes, but also to provide assistance in the same way so they can become more self-sufficient as well, to alleviate poverty in the world. And so I like that the United States was a leader in this, and we're no longer necessarily a leader in it. We have kind of pulled ourselves back from international engagement. And I can understand it when it comes to foreign wars, but when it comes to development and humanitarian assistance, we ought to be the leader in the world. Our farmers can't survive without export markets, both in normal selling products overseas, but also on the humanitarian side of the picture. So I think that there was some waste and fraud, I'm sure, in these programs, but it doesn't mean you cut the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. It doesn't mean that you end them all. And now I see that Congress is actually coming back with some of the programs that they did away with. And our friends in China have taken advantage of us, because as we pull out, they go in.
You know, speaking of that, but also tariffs that we began talking about earlier on, the impact of tariffs long-term on some of these markets, are we seeing that? Are we gaining any of these back? What happens long-term on our trading partners that are so important?
Well, we've clearly lost the soybean world, at least initially to Brazil and Argentina. And China was our biggest customer, and now they've gone south for their beans. The administration is working hard on these bilateral trade arrangements with countries in Southeast Asia and other places that might help out. But I'd hate to give our buyers justification to go elsewhere besides the United States if they don't see us as reliable suppliers. And, you know, from day to day, you don't know what the White House is going to do on these tariffs. It goes up one day, down the next day, up again the next day. If somebody says something that's not nice about the president personally, the tariffs go up the next day. You can't have any predictability in the marketplace with what I call diplomacy based upon a peak about how personal attacks on you, so to speak. And so on that side of the picture, I find a lot of criticism of what the administration's been doing on the tariff issue.
As farmers, and I'm one of them, begin to put in a crop this year, we get focused, and rightly so, on getting this crop in and doing well. But what would you tell us that we need to think about big picture trends? You are talking to a lot of people in agribusiness, both here and around the world. What should U.S. farmers be thinking about the bigger picture to be successful long term that we, in some ways, can control ourselves?
Well, one is to embrace technology, and that's beginning. Some of that's expensive, but precision agriculture, doing your best to reduce crop inputs is good because it's expensive. And so if we can have research that shows you can produce more crops with less water, less pesticides, more yields, that's a great thing to happen. I would be out pushing land grants and other places to do all the research that we need to do to have the crops of the future and the agriculture of the future survive. That'd be one trend. Our farm programs historically have encouraged a monocrop or dual crop agriculture. So you have a corn-soybean base, you plant corn and soybeans. And it used to be that if you planted, let's say, peaches, hypothetically, on your corn and soybean base, you could lose the whole base. We're getting away from that now. We're encouraging farmers everywhere to be more flexible in what they produce. And so that would be another thing, is look for alternatives, diversification. There are ways that we can have our farm programs developed so that a farmer can be much more diversified than he is right now. So those would be a couple things I would look at. And then crop insurance. Use it where you can. It is really, really valuable. It is long-term. It is probably the way that agricultural policy ought to be based on.
Before we wind up, I want you to have a chance to talk a little bit about the book, Laughing at Myself, but I think it would be good for you to share the story. It's one of my favorite ones about when the State of the Union went on and you were the most powerful person in the world for a little bit, and then certainly after you weren't.
Hey, listen, Andrew, look at me now. I couldn't even figure out how to make the link work with you earlier. So the story is this. Every year, it's different now. This is before 9/11, 1997, when I was secretary. They choose one cabinet secretary to be the odd man out during the State of the Union. And some people watch the show called The Designated Survivor on TV, and that's a Hollywood version of it. So anyway, I was a designated survivor. They usually picked the Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Interior, Labor Secretary. They didn't want the State Secretary of State or Defense in there. So anyway, they picked the most important secretaries. After all, what's more important than agriculture? So they picked me, and they didn't tell me much what to do. And this was 1997, so nobody really expected anything. And I left town. I had to leave town because, God forbid, if there was a nuclear explosion, I'd be blown up in it. So that I went to New York and visited my daughter. And the Air Force took me up there in an airplane, a G-3 it was, a Gulfstream plane. And I had a security group, maybe five or six people with me. And we went to my daughter's apartment while President Clinton gave the State of the Union message. And he never talked with great short-term precision. An hour speech with him was 2 hours. So anyway, I went to my daughter's apartment. I remember we went in, and she lived in an area where there were a lot of Hispanic-speaking people. And they saw all these policemen with me, and they thought it was an immigration raid. And so I had to convince them that I was not ICE. This is way before ICE. So I went upstairs and to her apartment, and we watched President Clinton give the State of the Union message. And after we're done, the security said, okay, Mr. Glickman, the mission is terminated. You can go back with us. And so I said, no, I'll stay here and have dinner with my daughter, and I'll go back tomorrow. So I didn't have any security anymore, but remember, it's 1997. It wasn't that big of a deal. So I took her out to dinner at a Japanese restaurant in New York. It was late, and coming out about 12:30, there was a blinding sleet storm. It was coming down so hard, it was like it hurt your face. These were the days where there was no such thing as Uber or ride-sharing. There were no cabs, terrible weather. My daughter and I walked home, and I looked at her, and I said, just imagine, Amy, 3 hours ago, I was almost conceivably the most powerful man on the face of the earth, and I couldn't even get a cab and walk back to my apartment by myself. And it just shows you things can go down as fast as they go up. You just have to be ready for it. That's all.
That's right. Is it still done the same way today that we still have one person that doesn't attend the State of the Union?
Well, they probably have more than one person. They have a designated survivor for Congress, one for the White House. They're much more briefed than they was. I mean, they gave me a card FEMA gave me a card. I assumed that the nuclear codes were on the card, but I had to open it, and I didn't know what it meant. And God forbid if something would have happened, is all I could say. My wife said to me, you said to me, okay, what happens? What happens if you're the president? I said, I don't know, but you'll have a nice house to live in. What can I say?
Well, always good to catch up with you. I've enjoyed the conversation, and now folks find the book, but also hopefully they've enjoyed some of the things that we've shared. I appreciate your time very much today.
You're welcome. And even though times are bleak and uncertain, we still need food. This is one business that will always be required, to have people produce food and fiber and livestock products. And so as tough as it is, there is a future.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And you can hear more of these shows by simply going to farmingthecountryside.com and clicking on the Listen tab, or just use your favorite podcast platform to find other topics from Farming the Countryside as well. I appreciate you joining me. I'm Andrew McRae. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to profarmer.com.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag RadioNet Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
Hey, are you driving high right now? You might be, because a whole lot of people do. They say marijuana makes them a better driver, more careful, more focused. That's probably what the guy who killed a 4-year-old thought. And now, he's in prison. You see, no matter what you tell yourself, if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Prime rib, steak, seafood. Your dining amazing destination is nearby at the Lumberyard Restaurant in Perry, where five-star dining meets hometown comfort. Don't miss the Lumberyard's famous Friday fish fry, just $15.99, and celebrate Easter with a dining destination. The Lumberyard Restaurant is where five-star dining meets hometown comfort. Reservations recommended. Make yours for Easter. Call 585-237-3160.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
For March 1st, all hogs and pigs is at 74.3 million head, up 0.4% from previous year inventory.
Travis Averill is chief of the livestock branch at USDA's National Ag Statistics Service on the latest hogs and pigs report.
Breeding hogs is at 5,892,000 head, a decrease of 0.5% from 2025. The market hogs is at 68.4 million head, up 0.6% from last year. So in the bottom left-hand corner, we have the top five states. As you can see, Iowa and Minnesota are the top two, and they're up 2 and 3% respectively from previous year, whereas North Carolina, Illinois, and Indiana wrap up the top five, and they're down 5%, 4%, and 1% from previous year's inventory for the respective states.
Averill says productivity gains helping offset the smaller breeding base. December through February pig crop, 33.2 million head, up 1% from last year, and pig save per litter increasing to 11.9 compared to 11.6 a year earlier, and that improvement continues a trend of higher efficiency across the sector. And Indonesia and the U.S., new trade framework could expand market access for American ag, particularly in oil seeds, grains, and dairy products. Analysis by the Center for North American Studies at Texas A&M shows that the agreement would eliminate tariffs on 99% of U.S. exports to Indonesia, while U.S. tariffs on Indonesian imports would remain at 19%. That move targets both tariff and non-tariff barriers, aiming to improve competitiveness for U.S. products in a growing Southeast Asian market. Trade flows, well, they highlight the opportunity. U.S. ag exports to Indonesia, totaling $2.89 billion last year, led by oil seeds and grains and feed. Dairy, cotton, and ag chemicals also represent smaller but important categories. USDA conservation funding continues to grow, offering more opportunities for producers, though the ways those dollars reach the farm vary widely by both program and timing. Now, a new USDA Economic Research Service report shows conservation funding reached about $5.7 billion annually, with roughly 90% concentrated in three programs: Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, and CSP, the Conservation Stewardship Program. Additional support from the Inflation Reduction Act added more than $19 billion in supplemental funding through 2031, and it expands available resources for conservation practices. Now, conservation programs expected to remain a key part of farm policy moving forward, though participation and impact will continue to depend on program design and how it fits on farm. And finally, a softer U.S. dollar providing only modest support for ag exports, with underlying support and demand remaining primary drivers of trade. Analysis from terrain economist Matt Clark shows the U.S. dollar index declining more than 12% since early 2025, typically a signal of improved export competitiveness, but he says that index now heavily weighted towards currencies like the euro, yen, and pound, and that accounts for a relatively small share for U.S. ag trade. It's Agriculture Today.
Attention seniors on Medicare and Medicaid, or receiving extra help for your prescription drugs. We have great news. You can change or enroll into a Medicare plan every 3 months if you qualify, all from the comfort and safety of your own home, over the phone. No one even needs to come to your home. And in minutes, we'll tell you all about some additional new Medicare benefits for you, like dental, vision, hearing, transportation, and more. Call us. We'll explain all your new Medicare benefits. Premiums are as low as $0 per month. Even if you are not paying anything for your coverage now, you need to call our licensed agents to review your plan. There are zero-cost plans available in some areas. Don't wait till next year. Get all the Medicare benefits you deserve. Call a licensed agent today.
800-793-1960. 800-793-1960. That's 800-793-1960. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the Ag Radio Net Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
Do you know the difference between a caregiver and a care partner? When it comes to dementia, those terms help us understand the shift from two people helping each other more or less equally to one person becoming much more dependent on the other. Are you a dementia caregiver? Perhaps you care for your spouse, parent, family member, or friend. Whoever it is, being the dementia caregiver can build relationships and test them. Having helpful information about dementia can empower you to survive and thrive as a caregiver. Hello, I'm Bill, and I want to thank you for the care you've provided. I have faced similar situations. So I'm speaking on behalf of the Dementia Society of America, a national nonprofit organization. Request our free guide filled with tips on care, planning, and important facts about brain health, dementia, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Thank you.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
New legislation supporting rollover prevention and safety was introduced in the Senate last week. The legislation is to help protect farmers from fatal tractor rollovers through USDA's cost share grant program that retrofits older tractors with roll bars and other protections. The act, called the ROPS Act, Rollover Protection and Safety Act, continues operation of the National ROPS Rebate Program. Farmers relying on the effective program, which would expire without congressional action. Senator Hyde Smith of Mississippi introduced the legislation with some Democrat backers. Smith said, "We need to extend the small but important program that saves lives in rural America." Farming and ranching can be dangerous work, made even more perilous because receiving help after an accident in rural areas takes considerable amount of time. Making retrofitting tractors affordable is worthwhile. She hopes the life-saving legislation finds broader support in the Senate and in the House. Under the ROPS Act, grants for retrofitting tractors with roll bars and other protective improvements would cover up to 70% of cost of purchasing, transporting, and installing ROPS or roll bars with a $500 out-of-pocket cap for farmers or eligible schools. In addition to providing grants to dramatically lower financial barriers and save lives, the legislation also creates a program administrator as well as a website and hotline to facilitate the application process. A number of ag organizations also endorse the ROPS Act, including the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, American Farm Bureau Federation, along with Farm Credit and a number of other farm industries. Having spent an entire career working to ensure farmer safety and well-being at work, it's been difficult to hear stories about traumatic deaths and injuries caused by tractor overturns. That according to Julie Sorensen, the chair of the National ROPS Rebate Program.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
The global protein market's been undergoing a period of adjustment with shifting trade flows. There's also been changes in export volumes, with some places really growing. Political pressure has reshaped how meat is moving around the world. Australia has emerged as a major driver in global beef trade, exports climbing as that country continues to rebuild its cattle herd following years of drought. Improved pasture conditions and herd expansion have allowed Australian exporters to increase shipments in key markets across Asia and the Middle East, where here in the U.S., prolonged drought has brought our cattle herd to its lowest in more than 60 years, and big appetite for domestic beef has been shrinking the export market. Brazil is exerting growing influence as well, but that in poultry. The world's largest chicken exporter, Brazil, has expanded shipments, supported competitive pricing with abundant feed supplies. They have access to a wide range of international markets. Poultry exports from Brazil have increased their footprint across Asia, Africa, and even in parts of the Middle East. That has intensified competition for other protein exporters, reinforcing poultry's role as the lower-cost alternative to beef. The expansion of Australian beef and Brazilian poultry has reshaped global protein trade flows. That's altered sourcing strategies for importers and placed pressure on regions with higher costs and more restrictive regulations. The biggest place that has affected has been Europe, with those pressures playing out on the streets. Farmers are protesting trade policies they say undermine domestic production, with producers across many European countries voicing concern that trade agreements and import rules that allow our lower-cost meat to enter the European market without meeting the environmental and animal welfare standards that's required of European Union farmers.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered. And keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha?
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
Ventrac, power, precision, performance, designed with your tough jobs in mind. Ventrac compact tractors from Larry Romance and Son handle everything from mowing, preparing seed beds, trenching, tilling, leaf collection, and more for a year-round tractor. Whether you're a grounds care professional or a large property owner, Ventrac will give you expert results to conquer all your tasks quickly and efficiently. Feel the difference when you get in the seat of a Ventrac today at Larry Romance and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, or Woodhull.
Special news alert. The Firing Pin 2.0 is finally open. It's been a long 2 years since the fire, but it's finally here and bigger and better than ever. Brandon and his crew are extremely excited for you to see their spectacular new facility that will thrill any gun enthusiast. Two floors of everything guns, plus a state-of-the-art indoor firing range. The Firing Pin would like to invite you to come enjoy and be a part of the brand new Firing Pin, Route 33 in Bergen.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Everyone needs to take care of their mental health, even running back Bijan Robinson.
When I'm on the field and feeling the pressure, I usually just take a deep breath. When I'm just breathing and seeing what's in front of me, everything just slows down. It just makes me feel great before I run the play.
Just like Bijan, we all need a strong mental game on and off the field. Make a game plan for your mental health at georgia.loveyourmindtoday.org.
Love your mind.
Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Foundation, the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Want more from your compact or utility tractor? With Massey Ferguson, you get more. More versatility, more durability, and more performance to multitask through any job around the yard or farm for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Stop by and visit with the nice folks at Kelly's Garage on Route 246 in Perry Center today, or visit MasseyFerguson.com to learn more about the full lineup of Massey Ferguson equipment.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
I always had to be so good no one could ignore me. Carve my path with data and drive. But some people only see who I am on paper. The paper ceiling. The limitations from degree screens to stereotypes that are holding back over 70 million stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time for skills to speak for themselves. Find resources for breaking through barriers at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
A visit by dairy growers and dignitaries at the White House Wednesday.
I'm delighted to sign the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act into law.
President Trump putting his signature on the legislation during the ceremony. The intent of the measure...
It will ensure that millions of school-aged children have access to high-quality milk. As it currently stands, schools participating in the National School Lunch Program are only able to offer students low or non-fat milk options.
In terms of implementation of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act in our nation's schools, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said same day at the signing event,
USDA was posting the new rulemaking that is necessary to get whole milk back into school lunches.
With whole milk available in schools and school menus within a few weeks, according to the secretary. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Let's talk vinyl. Vinyl new construction windows and vinyl replacement windows. You've heard the radio and TV ads offering buy one, get one free. Well, how much do they mark up the original price to be able to offer these deals? A lot. At First Lumber, we give you a fair, competitive upfront price without all the games. We offer the same warranties as the radio and TV guys, and we proudly carry United and Atrium brand windows, meaning you can buy with confidence when you buy at Burt's. Burt's Lumber and Perry, open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code GRAVY25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code GRAVY25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code GRAVY25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Walcott Maple will be having an open house to show and promote maple sugar this weekend. Stop over between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. this weekend for maple samples like maple syrup, maple sugars, maple cream, maple cotton, and more. Products are available for sale. For more information, call 786-3893. Don't miss Walcott Maple's open house this Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Walcott Maple, 1247 Dale Road in Dale, New York.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
When it comes to taking care of your land, you need equipment built to last. That's why so many property owners across Western New York and around the United States trust WoodMax, proudly based right here in Akron, New York. For more than 15 years, WoodMax has designed and built premium tractor and skid steer attachments that turn hard jobs into manageable work. Whether it's clearing lake effect snow in the winter, mowing pastures in the summer, or tackling spring and fall cleanup with a wood chipper, WoodMax has the attachment for your property's needs. Each WoodMax product is engineered with durability in mind, backed by warranty protection, and supported locally by the Back 40 Group team, a proud veteran-founded company who recognizes and salutes the brave men and women of our armed forces. They take pride in ensuring every customer's expectations are met even long after the sale. Visit WoodMax.com or stop by 42 Jackson Street in Akron and discover why thousands of landowners nationwide rely on trust in their products to get the job done with ease.
So there's skim milk, aka fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful. We have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Farming and maintaining your property is a year-round job, and it's easier with the right equipment and support from Jeva Farm Supply. From feeding livestock in the field to keeping things running in the shop, Jeva Farm Supply has everything you need to stay productive. They offer genuine AgCo parts and certified service expertise you can count on, because the work never stops, and neither do they. Visit Jeva Farm Supply in Batavia, North Jeva, or Yorkshire, or shop online anytime. Jeva Farm Supply, your local family-owned source for genuine AgCo parts and service.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
Western New York weather.
The CJ WeatherTrack forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison Dip, Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk, home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment to their community. Our forecast for today, mostly sunny, a slight chance of snow showers, high of 32. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low down to 23. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a little bit warmer, with highs at 49 degrees.
Walcott Maple will be having an open house to show and promote maple sugar this weekend. Stop over between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. this weekend for maple samples like maple syrup, maple sugars, maple cream, maple cotton, and more. Products are available for sale. For more information, call 786-3893. Don't miss Walcott Maple's open house this Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Walcott Maple, 1247 Dale Road in Dale, New York.
How about this? Looking for the perfect way to celebrate Easter Sunday? Join us at Alex's Place in Batavia for a delicious holiday dinner the whole family will love. We're serving our special Easter menu only, featuring our famous baby back ribs and mouth-watering prime rib, plus more of your favorites. Seating is available from 12 to 6 p.m., and we're taking reservations for parties of all sizes. Make this Easter easy, memorable, and absolutely delicious. Reserve your table today by calling 585-344-2999. You can view the full menu online at alexsribs.com. Alex's Place in Batavia, home. Man, now I want ribs.
Do you know the difference between a caregiver and a care partner? When it comes to dementia, those terms help us understand the shift from two people helping each other more or less equally to one person becoming much more dependent on the other. Are you a dementia caregiver? Perhaps you care for your spouse, parent, family member, or friend. Whoever it is, being the dementia caregiver can build relationships and test them. Having helpful information about dementia can empower you to survive and thrive as a caregiver. Hello, I'm Bill, and I want to thank you for the care you've provided. I have faced similar situations, so I'm speaking on behalf of the Dementia Society of America, a national nonprofit organization. Request our free guide filled with tips on care, planning, and important facts about brain health, dementia, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Thank you.
Here's a look at how the markets closed on Friday. Corn futures were down, with May down a nickel at 462, July down 4.5 at 473.5, December off 4.25 at 490.25, May soybeans off 14.5 to 1159.25, July down 14.25 to 1175.25, November down 8.75 to 1144. Chicago May wheat was unchanged at 605, July up a quarter at 616, Minneapolis spring wheat May was up 3.25 at 648.25, and July up 3 at 662.25. In the hard red winter, May up 6 to 632.75, July up 6.25 to 647.5. Cotton futures trading higher, with May up a nickel at 69.46, July up 18 to 71.70, and December up 38 to 74.02. Back in Chicago, April live cattle up 340 at 238.50, June up 397.5 to 238.77.5, August gained 365, ending at 236.05. May feeders were up 807.5 to 359.82.5. August was up 742.5 to 357.80, and September up 675 at 355.52.5. The April lean hogs were down 5 cents at 90.77.5. May up 122.5 to 96.97.5, and June up 182.5 at 106.12.5. In the class 3 milk, April was down 29 at 17.23. May lost 22, ending at 17.61.
Crude oil up $5 on the day at $99.45 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials down 749 to 45,210. The NASDAQ was off 436 to 20,972. The S&P down 101 at 63.75.
Meet Blue. Blue's not feeling well. The prescription? Generic medication. Blue wonders, do they really work as well as name brands? Yes, generics and name brand medications do work the same. Even though they may look different, generics have the same key ingredients. FDA approval is equally rigorous for generics to make sure they're as safe and effective as name brands. And Blue even saves some green, making him a little less, well, blue. Talk to your doctor about generics and visit fda.gov/generic drugs.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Denver, we caught up with Dr. Kerry Ryan, pet cloning and genetic preservation expert with Viagen in Cedar Park, Texas.
We've been working with dogs and cats for 3 years. We're the only company in the United States that clones dogs and the only company in the world that clones cats. And we've also been cloning horses and livestock for about 15 years. So I think this will be here to stay. And I think as we get better and better at it, the costs will come down and people will be more and more interested in it.
There's more information at avma.org.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.